You are listening to Just My Thoughts with Graffiti Blue on the Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
Hey yo, personally I think I'm underrated if nothing else. Hey yo, personally I think I'm underrated if nothing else. Hey yo, personally I think I'm underrated if... Hey yo, personally I think I'm underrated if nothing else.
Questions to ask your future spouse. 21. Do you feel with sincerity deep inside your heart of hearts that you and I could make each other better people? 20. If yes, how so? If no, please go. 19. In your eyes, what are the roles of man and woman inside the confines of a marriage? To be fair, I will give my answer first. Mine is aligned by faith, where the woman is the wisdom and the man enforces and protects that wisdom. So again, I ask you, number 19. In your eyes, what are the roles of man and woman inside the confines of a marriage? 18. What kind of relationship do you have with your father and mother? 17. If that relationship is strained to where you find yourself unable to forgive them, how do I know that you will be able to forgive me? 16. What is your 5-year plan, your 10-year plan, and your 20? 15. If you don't have any and I've got plenty, are we not headed towards a war of the spirit? 14. Are you comfortable with your sexuality? 13. Would my comfort level with my own intimidate you? 12. Have you ever found happiness on your own without having a mate? 11. Have you ever blamed someone for wasting years of your life? 10. Whether you are religious or atheist, can you make an argument for why love exists and its purpose in the universe? 9. If all your friends in your circle look one way, i.e. cute, i.e. fat, i.e. unattractive, i.e. black, can you tell me why that is? 8. If this is the case, why is your circle not reflective of the diversity of the universe? 7. And if in fact you can exclude people with such fervor, what assurances do I have that you won't exclude me down the line? 6. Is there a part of your spirit you feel is broken? 5. If yes or no, is there something about me you feel can help heal it? 4. Will the way you raise your children remotely resemble how your parents raised you? 3. My love for creativity will never come before my life mate, yet the fact will not make my love inspiration any less. With this rule of thumb in mind, can you see the potential for jealousy here? Number 2. I would describe a beautiful death as me as an old man surrounded by my children's children passing away during my sleep with no pain and no regrets. Can you describe a beautiful death? 1. Now, can you paint a picture of our beautiful life? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, the sexy and not so sexy, big children and little, welcome to Just My Thoughts. I'm your main man on the trigger, the novelist, author, poet, Lamont Anthony Wright, a.k.a. Graffiti Blue. I've got some special guests in the home offices of Graffiti Blue Publishing today. Would you guys care to announce yourself to the world, please?
My name is Brian.
Nice. And who's the beauty you have with you, Mr. Brian?
My lovely lady to the right here is Christy.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. And just to give you an idea of what we're trying to do in today's show, we'll be talking about new love and trying to capture that energy into what I would like to categorize as in love maintenance. Every now and then, and we just talked about this, didn't we? We said there has to be a time, whether it be once a month, once every other week, once a week, once a day, where while you're in that new love phase, you kind of ask yourself, you take inventory, like, hey, how are we doing? So I purposefully saw an opportunity here because you guys are so undeniably happy. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so many people out there, especially if you are in the sound of my voice, that you know that no one talks about new love. Everybody looks at new love like you're crazy. Oh, that won't last. Oh, this, that, and the third. And hogwash. BS. If you could stay, if the bad forces are no more powerful than the good forces, then why do people stay unhappy for longer than they stay happy? Okay?
Right.
We have a lot of Christian folks, right, that believe every word of the Bible without any research. They're like, I don't care what books came before it. I don't care who wrote it. I don't care about whether it's the King James Version. I don't care about the comedic stones they found. Good will triumph over evil. But yet, most of their day is more miserable than it is happy. So you in your own wisdom are not being true to what you believe. And that's conflict, and that's a show for another day. How did you guys meet, first off? Let's get that. Let's paint a picture.
We met at work.
Oh.
It was something that over time, as Christy likes to put it, her eyes were opened, as were mine.
Okay.
We had worked together for a few months, but not really noticed each other, per se.
Okay.
It was more of a friendly, hey, how you doing? How's your day?
Not even really that. You would just say, hi, Christy, as you walked by. And then after maybe a month or so, maybe a month and a half, all of a sudden you walked by me and said, hi, Christy, and I heard you say it. I really heard you. I heard your voice, and it resonated within me in a deep way.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and I asked a coworker about you because I really didn't know your name even.
Okay.
And within a day, our lives really kind of changed. You've friended me on Facebook. We had a date set up the next day after months of passing by each other.
A lot of coincidental things that just aligned.
I am of the belief that there are no coincidences, but I understand the context in
yes.
which you are speaking.
Yes.
Without question.
Things just lined up naturally.
Absolutely.
And easily as they should have.
Mm-hmm.
Which was meant to be.
Indeed.
It really was.
Now, what do you think about those people that there are a lot of instances where things line up very naturally, but it does not match what is in the person's head? Do you guys know the context in which I'm speaking? It's just like, like people feel love or their gut tells them certain things, but their heart and their mind isn't in line. You follow what I'm saying? And it's kind of like that old adage where people say, my plan and God's plan were not the same. You know what I mean? And it sounds like you guys actually listened. At some point, you guys, something in your gut told you, like, hey, Christy, you looked at this guy and was like, hey, let me give him a shot. And you probably did the same. You probably did the same. If you had it in your mind, like, oh, it's supposed to be a brunette, and it's supposed to come like this, and she's supposed to bring me a freaking fruitcake, you would probably never find them. You would have never found
them. There's some backstory, I guess, to it, because I woke up to you, but at the same time, Brian, I woke up to you, but at the same time, I asked for you. I was ready. I had set intention around inviting a person into my life who could partner with me, you know, so maybe within a week of all of this happening, I was aligning my life. I purchased a car to invite adventure.
I purchased a car for the same reason.
Mm. Oh. So you guys pretty much was asking the universe for each other.
We threw
it
out
just
there,
right there
at the same time. And
okay.
I remember the exact time I said and did the same thing, throwing it out there, bring me this beautiful creature, this spirit that's going to align with mine and have the same ideas and concepts as far as life and love and growth and spirituality and mentality. Somebody that will receive the love that I am throwing out and vice versa.
Reciprocate it, yeah.
Correct.
And I did the same.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome. I want to tell the listeners out there that the reason why I chose the opening poem, 21 Questions to Ask Your Future Spouse, is by design. And nothing I do is by accident. And the reason why I brought this particular question, or a set of questions, is because this is a testimony as to who I was when I wrote it. You know, I was walking out of a situation. I was feeling very spiritual when I wrote it. Interestingly enough, I was in a place of ego with my career. So I actually just wanted to read them to you, ask you your take on them, and then let you kind of know how I feel about that question in hindsight. So let's go down the list. Question 21. Do you feel with sincerity? Now, hold on. Before I get started, it is not my mission to get you guys over the broom. Okay?
Yes.
You know, we'll save that for the we'll save that for the newlywed game.
Part two.
Yes, this is a Graffiti Blue show. we just like to talk about real shit. Yes. You know what I mean? If you guys stayed in bliss with no government certificate, that is good enough for me. You know what I mean? It is not my intention. And do that. The poem just seemed pertinent to what we're doing. But we will get to those questions right after this.
Lost in a hidden city, where divergent artists and dancers are enslaved and bound by their own dreams, while other primitive planets, such as American Idol, X Factor, and The Voice, have captured some of the greatest singers in the world. There's only one planet left for artists, where the world's most renowned record labels and judges travel the galaxy looking for the next big thing. Sign up now. Get discovered. Get a $50,000 to $100,000 check. Get a record deal. Register online now. Go to www.thenexttoblow.com. Spaces are limited. Act now. You could be the next to blow. www.thenexttoblow.com.
Question 21. Do you feel with sincerity deep inside your heart of heart that you and I, or in this case, you guys, can make each other better people? I think you have made each other better people already.
It's already shown.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's without. In hindsight, I look at that question, that is a very pertinent question. You know what I mean? Do you guys make each other better?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a yin-yang that people don't discuss that's important in relationships. And people get caught up on what? Oh, we're too much alike. Or, oh, we're very different. You know what I mean? And people go through the let me nitpick at everything wrong phase. Now, funny, ironically, everything wrong with them was at some point everything right with them. And now we're in the pick each other apart phase. Why? Because we're approaching it with fear. We're scared. Oh, shit, it's getting real serious. I'm head over heels in freaking love. This is it. And I'm in denial. Happiness cannot happen to me. You know, but when in reality, it's more of a yin-yang. Whether you are both two peas in a pod or you are very different. Maybe you are the hip-hop artist and maybe she is the mountain girl. That fuck shit doesn't fucking matter.
Correct.
What matters are, what do you guys like together? You know what I mean? Do you make each other better? Do you freaking make it work? Does it matter if your playlist and your iPod are exactly the same? You know what I mean? Do they inspire you to make music? Oh. I'm sipping my wine, ladies and gentlemen.
We were talking about sort of that concept on the way over here about how the ease of, like, especially early in new love, you know, how we just mesh really well together. But it's, I think, how you navigate the tougher times.
Absolutely.
That will show how you enrich each other's lives. And so we're at a point of really not having experienced tough times yet together. We're 2 months into our time together.
Right.
And we've had a lot of ease. I think that we probably will have a lot of ease in our time together because of how we interact. But how we navigate where our values may not be exactly aligned, or our vision or our personal goals.
Even the little things that are brought up. Where are we going to go eat tonight?
Okay.
What do you want for dinner?
Okay.
You know, and deferring to the other person, and the other person may say, well, I picked earlier. You know, what do you want?
Right.
What do you want? Just being cognizant of how the other person feels and respecting their desires as well.
Compassion.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And giving of yourself that way. I mean, we're not going to agree on everything every night, every day, every second, but...
And in that, you guys make each other better, because it sounds like, if regardless, when it comes to decision-making time, that isn't looked at with fear. It isn't like, oh God, here we go. You're not looking at him like, oh, he's the most indecisive guy I met. I'd rather not ask him. And he's not looking at you like, oh my God, she's such a nag. I don't want to freaking ask her any freaking thing. You know what I mean? So it goes right with the question. Do you feel with sincerity deep inside your heart of hearts that you and her, both of you, can make each other better people? And that is making each other better. When you want to engage,
mm-hmm.
I want to ask my lady what she wants for dinner. And
correct.
It's never a sore
correct.
Spot.
Yeah.
You want to ask your man what he's feeling like eating this evening outside of your underwear. Oh my God, he said that.
Who wears that?
Who wears underwear?
Commando.
Sounds like a good time for a commercial. You're listening to the Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. On to question number 20. Well, we could skip over 20, because 20 is just a piggyback over 21. It says, if yes, how so? If no, please go. Number 19, in your eyes, what are the roles of man and woman inside the confines of a marriage? Now, that's an interesting one, because that digs down into people's values. Some people say, I don't have any preconceived or contrived notion of what the roles are. You know what I mean? Some guys, for example, are happy being Mr. Mom at home, washing dishes, changing diapers, house is clean, and they do not feel like a pansy by doing that. You know what I mean? Some women, there's a surprising amount of old school girls out there that would like to do nothing more than to pop out some Mandingo's babies, you know what I mean, while they're watching morning soaps.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? Then you've got your hustlers, of course. You know, the pit bull in a dress. And she's very comfortable at her law firm job. You know what I mean? And all of that good stuff. And, you know, if she finds a man that is willing to be supportive of her independent self. I mean, everything ain't for everybody. What are you guys' roles for man and woman inside the confines of a marriage? Or just in a relationship, rather.
Well, there's a 9-year age difference between us, but I think we're still aligned to a degree. But I'm a social worker, and I have basically a full-time job. And I don't think that there's a difference between the role of a man or woman in a marriage or a long-term partnership, other than the expectation, I suppose, I use that word loosely, just that we are going to partner with each other, that we're going to be present with each other and hold compassion with each other on our journey.
There's really no defined set of rules. It's what needs to be done when it needs to be done. It doesn't matter who does it. I'll clean toilets and I'll cook and I'll do yard work and I'll do dishes and laundry just as easily as I'll tell my lady she looks beautiful, which she does most of the time. Even though she says
score,
you know, she doesn't.
Ding.
But what I see, and it doesn't matter what she's doing.
Right.
She makes me a meal. If she's out getting the bacon,
it comes down to communication.
Correct.
Really, just that we define what it is that we're hoping for or wanting, and then negotiating and navigating that as a team.
Working toward those goals together.
That's awesome. I know in this particular poem I wrote that, to be fair, I'll give you my example of confines, is that the woman is the wisdom and the man protects and enforces that wisdom. I believe in most cases women are smarter than men. And
sorry.
Well, you guys, I mean, even in spirit, the Lord praises women's ability to jump inside different manifestos.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, he's quite clear. Like, he's like, wow, I love you, men, but, you know, women, I really, really nailed it when I made her. You know what I mean? So that's just what it is. If I had to add another question as I'm looking at these questions, if I had to ask another question, I would ask, does your potential spouse represent you the way you want to be represented? Let me elaborate on that statement. If for some reason you met your untimely demise, or you were just in a hospital bed, or you just couldn't make it, you were stuck in Iraq, whatever it is, we don't have to go to death route. Are you comfortable with lovely Christy representing you? Can she go in front of your family and your friends and your bank and negotiate in your name? Would you hold your head up with pride if she went to take care of matters of the day, if she had to go and take care of your... You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does she... I'm not suggesting you guys run out and get the joint account after the podcast. I'm just saying. Does she represent
most,
you? Do you? Does she represent you?
Most definitely. Spiritually, mentally,
that's
emotionally, and physically, she represents.
And that's very mutual.
Yes.
And that's mutual.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Yes.
Let's move on.
There's a deep respect there.
No, I get that. That the adoration is evident. It's written all over you both, and I'm. You guys give me hope. I'm dead serious. There's a lot of selfish hoes out there. Man.
Yeah.
And even if they ain't hoes, they're still selfish. They're not hoes because they're selfish. I'm just saying. You have a lot of people that are very self-absorbed.
Yes.
And so when I see people giving to
another
person, even outside of romance, you know what I mean? It warms my heart when I see people drop a dollar at the Salvation Army guy. You know what I mean? You know, there's just people just giving of themselves is the key.
And that's one of the things that really attracted me to Christy at first, is watching her work in the trauma area and how she does give of herself to the patients that she does deal with.
Her energy is I totally see that. Her energy is quite a radiant one.
Very much so.
Moving,
thank you, guys.
Without question. Moving to question number 18, what kind of I'll ask you, Christy, first. What kind of relationship do you have with your father and mother?
I would say that I have a very strong relationship, a different one, with my mother and father, but a strong one. I stay in the area to be with them as they are in their advanced years, and I want to support them through the transition, maybe end-of-life transition. I would say if I looked at both my parents, I'd have to take them differently. My mom has shown me and given me just unconditional love and
nice.
Caring, deep acceptance.
So she showed you how to love early.
she...
You had a good example at home about how it's done.
I know how to love completely and unconditionally. And my father, he and I are very much alike, and so there's times where we've had our struggles, but he has shown me that love is an action word. And so he shows his love through his doing for his family and for me.
Most men are like that. Look, honey, I changed the 4 tires on your Lincoln.
That's right.
I love you. And
right.
She's just like, I really would have rather have had
right.
you hold me today.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what I have the benefit of is the insight or the ability to love and share that love that my mom gave me and pay that forward, that
okay.
unconditional, deep caring, but also the awareness and the insight and knowledge that that it's through my action that I can live my love. And so my parents, as a team, really did me right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me switch gears to the man to your left right there. What kind of relationship do you have or did you have with your father and mother?
My parents are still living too.
Sweet.
And I just left Southern California to move up here
okay.
6 months ago to be closer to my children, but making sure that my parents were in a place where they were safe and okay as well as they get up in their advanced years. They're back home in our hometown with a bunch of family, but I still go down every few months to make sure that they're doing okay. It's kind of reversed from Christy, too. My mom and I are very similar, so we butt heads.
Okay.
But I know she loves me deeply, and I love her deeply as well.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's more of a stoic, quiet gentleman, but I know he loves me through his actions
right.
as well. And I learned love and forgiving from them. They went through some rough times early on. Almost split up
right.
At a young age for me, and I remember that, and then being able to forgive each other and work through it and move on and stay together. That's a big part of why I am the way I am, too, giving of myself and forgiving, even though I've been hurt deeply in past relationships.
I'd imagine so.
And continue to do that, to be able to give of myself and to be in this situation now with Christy.
Right.
I wouldn't be able to do that without going through that with my parents.
Right. And that takes me to question number 17. Question 17 is not necessarily applicable to you, but it is. Question 17 is a piggyback off of 18. And that question is, if the relationship between you and your parents is strained to where you find yourself unable to forgive them, how do I know you'll be able to forgive me? That is the question. And what I personally believe, as I look back as to who I was when I wrote the question, that this is yet another question that is unchanged, that I would not change. Because you learn how a lot of stuff, ladies and gentlemen at home, is developed in us early. Our sexuality, what we like, who we are to the core is really developed way early. Before you're freaking 10, you already have your predisposition. Now, a series of life events, life period, will modify your perceptions. But who you kind of are to the core, what you're really about, is pretty much there already. And what I notice is that, for example, guys in my circle that I get along with the best coincidentally have great relationships with their fathers. You follow what I'm saying? And guys that have a good relationship with their dads, me and them are always best buds because it was taught early. This is how men conduct themselves and show love to other men. Hashtag no homo. I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Women are the same way. Women, friendships, or relationships. The best relationships that I have had, a female feels an undeniably connection with her dad. So meeting a man is not a point of trepidation for her. It isn't a source of mistrust for her. isn't a reminder, a latent reminder of some imminent betrayal. Because a woman may be thinking, if my own dad could betray me, what would you do? So those questions about how, you know, finding out about a person's family is extremely important. I'm not saying we should prejudge.
Right. I think there's the space about, you know, when you talk about spiritual evolution, I don't think it precludes you to be able to have a deep connection with a partner. As a woman, if I had a bad relationship with my father, it's about where
right.
you are in your spiritual evolution and where you are in your understanding of forgiveness and self-acceptance. So it's not necessarily about what happened to you in the past as much as what you're doing with your past in the present.
Oh, I agree with you 1,000%. And I know I don't walk like that. I do not. You are whoever you choose to be. You know what I mean? You are not the result of what happened to you.
Correct.
You follow what I'm saying? I totally agree with that. The only point I'm trying to make is to be mindful for those people who do look to deceive. You know what I mean? Like, hey, everything's great. And, you know, they may or may not have a bunch of resentment or unresolved issues. You know what I mean? Going on. Or if they're not getting close as you want.
Correct.
You may want to look inside what may have happened.
Watch for those red flags.
Ding, ding, ding. That's all. We don't judge here at the Graffiti Blue Show.
Explosions.
Oh! Yeah, so
right.
then there's that.
Hey, now.
Then there's
that. The hair on your face.
Okay. Do you guys have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, or a 20? Because that's the next. That's question number 16. Do you guys have a 5?
We have a lifetime
10
plan.
Time?
It's whatever takes us to the end of this life here.
That's what's up.
And
we
that's...
share a very deep connection that's become evident very early on.
Okay.
And just being able to maximize our togetherness to the end of our days on this earth.
We're meeting each other at a stage in life where we're older, you know, where we've had our past relationships. So there's some grieving that we've had in our conversations about time lost, and about what we want to do with our time together as we move forward.
Right.
So there's been several conversations that we've shared where we've grieved a little around what we wish we could have shared early on.
But at the same time, knowing we wouldn't be where we're at now without having gone through that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
without credit,
growing just like anything else.
And that's where I am at in my personal journey. It's like, I am not crying over lost time or whatever. I had a ball, man.
Yeah.
I mean, my life is a movie, yo. Every day I wake up, I'm like, I can't believe I live inside my own skin. You know what I mean? I love a really good life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, there was some pain there.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was some betrayal there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I took everyone's best blow, and I'm still standing. I'm not in the alley. You know what I mean? Crying behind some dumpster, you know, wiping my tears with an old Whopper wrapper. You know what I mean? I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm doing exactly what I want to do and exactly how I want to do it.
You can't see where you're going forward if you keep looking in the rearview mirror.
Especially if there's a dumpster back here.
Yeah. A dumpster fire.
Absolutely. Moving to question 15, which is, I can kind of omit question 15 because I really wouldn't ask what is your 5, 10, or 20 year plan anymore, because I'm more of a person who lives in the now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I wouldn't judge anyone if they didn't have a 5-year plan, because that 5-year plan, and with all your intention in the world, may not go down. There may be a bigger or different plan for you.
It's how we navigate our combined plans too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the 15 was a piggyback off of that, asking if one person had a plan and one person didn't, are they not headed for a spiritual war? But let's X that. Number 14 is, are you comfortable with your sexuality? I would hope that this stage of the game, we're not talking to a couple and the guy is 21 and the girl is 19. And they're just happy to be out of their mama's house. Hitting it like rabbits.
But, they know.
Okay, well, maybe they are hitting it like rabbits.
We're not that old.
Excuse me.
Not
sorry.
Too old for that.
Oh, no, there's not too old for that. No, certainly not. But, you know what I mean? You guys are obviously comfortable with your sexuality.
Oh, definitely.
I think that.
Yeah.
And the reason why I asked that question when I wrote it is because I know, unfortunately, people later in life. Just for the record, ladies and gentlemen, if the tone sounds like I'm talking to some older people, they're not that. I mean, they're freaking beautiful. I mean, they're both. Extreme, they're a very attractive couple.
We're in our 40s.
Yeah, I mean, they're very sexy. You know, I mean, there's nothing that says wrinkles or Ben Gay in here.
There's nothing wrong with that, though.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
No, just
you know
saying.
What I mean?
There's no ageism happening.
But
here.
Yes, but there was a process, I would imagine, of being comfortable inside your own skin.
Yes.
And you know, sex is a form of expression.
Yes.
You know, and not a lot of people are very good at expressing themselves. You know, I know the average person will trip over their own tongue in most cases.
I think our sexuality with each other is a reflection of where we are in our own comfort in our skin and with our being.
Yeah.
So we have great sex with each other.
Oh, fantastic sex.
And I think we're at a place where we're open and receptive to that and okay with ourselves. We've done our own work, and we've come to our own sense of self-awareness before we met each other.
So the giving and receiving is just easy.
Well, without question, because that's exactly what it is. It's a give and take. It is a balance of dominance and submission where the roles reverse.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And it is a trust exercise. And my personal belief is that sex is a physical manifestation of the state of the relationship. And that's just what it is. And awesome. Moving on.
Super awesome.
Super awesome. We'll go to number 12 because 13 was a piggyback of the last one. Have you ever found happiness on your own without having a mate? I think we already answered that. I think you guys are both not necessarily at the peak of happiness, but you guys were okay by yourselves before you hooked up, no?
Both of us were on our own, and I was, happy.
Happy to be where I was at, with
mm-hmm.
comfortable in my skin,
mm-hmm.
comfortable. My living situation, the choices that I've made to get to this point. I'm happy to be able to reflect on, again, things that I went through in order to get here.
Right.
And be able to be living in the present and happy with what was going on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And open to the relationship that came with Christy here a few months ago. Being ready for that.
Nice. Yeah, being when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I know that a lot of people ask for certain things, and it is of my belief that you will only get those things when you're ready for them. You know what I mean? Where truly get them. I mean, sometimes you get them and you're not ready for them, and it kind of
right.
doesn't count because mm-hmm. you might not even know what you have when you have it. You know what I mean? But yeah, the universe is very responsive. As soon as I felt that I was worthy of a certain kind of love, all who were not worthy jumped out of the fucking window.
Right.
And then the queens were like, "We'll take care of you, king." I'm like, "Wow, that's not my name." No, they're like, "You're a king, I'm telling you. Let's go." I was like, "Wow, that's so fucking cool."
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
And not forcing the issue.
Absolutely.
Not trying to get that.
Yeah, we weren't desperate when we found each other.
No.
We were inviting we were inviting more. We were inviting our own growth and connection with another being. It wasn't, I need someone to complete me. It was, I'm ready for the next phase and connection with another being.
Well, let's elaborate on that, Chris. Let's elaborate that on that, because there are a lot of people out there that really do that. People say it all the time. People say things like, I'm ready to be a mom, whether I have a dad who wants to stick around or not.
I think people set limits on themselves when they do that. Oh, I'm not going to be having children until I've got the job, I've got the house, I've got the car.
Mm-hmm.
When life is not that way.
Exactly.
The curveballs come and you got to be ready to hit it. So you stay back, get that nice, easy swing, and go with the pitch.
Right.
And you're not going to pull it to left field. You're going to hit it to right through the hole between first and second. And it's going to be just as sweet as if you take one downtown.
Exactly. I like that. Little poet metaphor action going on, ladies and gentlemen. Thank goodness. I think people hold themselves, keep themselves from great blessings because of that.
Correct.
Yes.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes,
yeah. Guy, head over heels in love. He's Asian, and he's head over in heels in love with a African American woman, and he's scared to death at what his parents might think.
Mm-hmm.
So he will turn his back on love for race, even though in his core belief system, right, he doesn't see color. You know what I mean? There's a certain karma that comes with that. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm sure there's a female out there somewhere. In her mind, she wants a man to make a certain amount of money.
Right.
But she fell in love with a blue-collar dude. You know, and it started out being just a friend that came over on midnights, and now it's something more. She turns her back on love. Because it's not, she turns her back on her heart for the thoughts in her mind that undermined her feeling. Happens all the time.
For the comfort.
You know what I mean? You have people that fall in love online and say, oh, I'm not used to this online love. I don't want to do this. And will turn their back on somebody. You have people that meet somebody randomly and have this amazing connection and find out that to be with them might be a long-distance relationship. You may have to take a plane every other weekend to Vegas from California, which you can do, which is in your budget, but in your mind, oh, this is too stressful to have this long-distance relationship. But you have a lot of people turning their backs on love every minute of every day. Only to turn around and complain about where did the love go. And it's like, how much love do you show in a day? Because you're certainly expecting it back, but you don't show love. So you expecting love makes me bewildered. But moving on. Whether you are religious or atheist, or spiritual, I change that question. I ask you first, mister. Can you make an argument for why love exists and its purpose in the universe?
Most definitely. Every day. Every day. And that's a choice. That's a conscious choice that you make every day. For yourself, even starting off. First thing you do when you wake up, and I wake up next to this beautiful woman next to me, and it's love every day. Just knowing that she's right next to me. She doesn't have to be doing anything, but just be laying there. And having that physical presence and that energy glowing off of her and just being able to touch her.
Can you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? That's new love.
I think he likes me.
That's new love. I was wondering if I was going to capture that on the podcast. I think we're there. I know we're there. I could click off right now and we'd have a good show, but we're not.
I think, just adding to that it, because I'm not religious. I would say I'm more in the realm of spiritual, and spiritual I mean more about how we make meaning of things.
This is a spiritual podcast, so you can ride in spirit all you want.
So how we, in my mind, spirit is how we make meaning of life or how we make meaning of experience.
Absolutely.
But there's something that's untouchable or undefinable for me, or that I'm still on a journey of understanding. But in terms of the reason for love, I think that we are in a human body or a human form to help each other spiritually evolve. We have our ego, we have our humility, we have our perception, we have our fear. But I think it has value because it's how we come into self-knowing. Otherwise, like a fish in water doesn't know it's wet.
And then you hit the pertinent stride. Putting this into a spiritual context, the spirit tells me that how are we to appreciate light if light is all we know? Let's say that regardless of your God's name, whether that is Buddha, Allah, Jehovah, or Jesus Christ himself, and anyone in between, we can all agree that these are extremely divine, filled with light people. One day, the spirit tells me, how are we to appreciate light if light is all we know, if light was all there ever was? Even you, yes, you at home, would get tired if you were just bathing in pure light 24/7, 365. So the whole human experience is to basically give us a set of experiences so that we could appreciate the light. There is no way that our soul, which is of pure love and of God, cannot find its way back to its source. That's my belief. I'm not trying to turn atheists into believers. That's just what it is. That being said, then why are we in this skin? It is obviously, no, we're not made to suffer. We're here to experience something. We're here to teach each other. We're here to guide each other. And all of those connections mean something.
Correct.
Even you guys here with me today, we are feeding each other. And hopefully, we are feeding the men, women, children, boys and girls at home.
Yes.
Moving on. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that if I am in your circle, that your circle is diverse. But I'm going to ask you the question. Does your circle, question number 9 and 10, kind of go on the diversity aspect?
Of course.
You guys have pretty diverse circles. When you guys have Thanksgiving dinner, there's a little bit of everybody up in that place.
Yes.
Okay.
Culturally and ethnically, yes. But I was thinking about this question more, and I'm not sure the answer to it, but like, there's more intersectionality to diversity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, without question.
So there are limitations, and I need to look at that more for myself.
Mm-hmm.
In a classism perspective, I seem to follow a circle of people who, they're definitely not privileged to the degree of, like, you know, wealth, extreme wealth.
Right.
But I don't have a lot of people that I surround myself with who are extremely poor. Right?
Okay.
So there's other areas that I need to look at in terms of when you look at diversity. You know, we limit it often to culture in terms of ethnicity or religion,
right.
But there's so much more to cultural diversity, spiritual diversity, and economic diversity.
Absolutely.
Right? So.
Absolutely. A lot of people don't look at it that way, and you're opening my eyes to that, because when I wrote it, I was speaking definitely more on a cultural term.
How about ableism?
But man, I mean, the true diversity is to go beyond that, right? It is that not only do you have Asian, Chinese, Japanese, black, white, purple, yellow, and red all under the same roof, but some of those guys might be doctors. Some of those girls may be the sole proprietor of their own business. Some of those guys may be homeless on the street.
That's right.
You know what I mean? It'd be economic big time. Some of those guys may be atheists. Some of those guys may be spiritual. Some of those guys may have to leave the party early because they have to be in the pulpit Sunday morning. You know what I mean? So that is a true diversity. We do not see it. It is not represented on television. And that really bothers me that a show like a Seinfeld or a Friends could have these stories that take place in New York City, where I was born and raised. Peace to the Zulu Nation in Vaughan Lynn, out there in Southside Jamaica, Queens. My dudes. But how can you have a group of seven friends and nobody's from Pakistan?
Right.
Nobody's from Haiti? Nobody's from India? On my block on 199th Street, we had somebody Puerto Rican living across the street, somebody from Guyana to the left of me, somebody from Trinidad to the right. Are you kidding?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's New York City. So Hollywood does themselves a disservice. But we don't need Burn Hollywood Burn. We just need people like the fine folks at Culture Zine Media, where urban culture lives, to give guys like me his own show.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice say.
You like that? You like it? They're just written right into commercial. Okay.
No, I totally agree. I was raised to not look at color or culture. It was, you take the person individually. It doesn't matter who they are, what they are, what country they're from. It's just the person inside.
Absolutely.
And that's how I was raised. I've got a, if you want to call it, big, diverse group of friends. Financially, spiritually, culturally. And again, I take people individually. So it doesn't matter.
I do look at culture, though, for me. It does matter, because that's part of the person that I'm speaking with or interacting with. Where they come from, who they are, what their story is,
important.
Like,
correct.
Their background matters. So I don't see myself as, my parents raised me to be colorblind, but I don't follow that path. I really do want to see color, diversity, ethnicity, culture, because
it's really what it is. And I do notice that a lot of times people take the I don't see color thing a bit actually too far.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Whereas in what is more American than being black? I mean, my people created jazz music. My people created hip hop
music.
And my people created blues, funk. You know what I mean? Arguably rock and roll with the contributions of Little Richard and so forth. Gosh, what's more American than being born here and creating a culture that dominates the fucking planet? That is America all day. So when people look at me and they see my color, and I can kind of see it in their eyes, and where I'm more of a minority and people are believing more of kind of the media depiction and all of that jazz and don't look at it for the beauty in which it is. You know what I mean? The story of the African-American, yes, is a story of struggle, yes. But it is more a story of survival. I am the American dream. Period. End. You know what I mean? So when people look at me as anything other than that, they do themselves a disservice. Because statistics says that I was supposed to be in a box at 21. I was supposed to be in prison at 25.
Right.
I'm not supposed to be, certainly not supposed to be here at 45. You know what I mean? And talk about love with y'all. So that's just what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and what's more American than your story? What's more American than your story?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's so layered. And
yeah.
And embracing each other, whether it's, you know, whatever culture it is, because I think we limit culture to just the color of the skin.
Absolutely.
But it can be love language. It can be all, just any myriad of things, you know.
Without question.
How beautiful each culture is, the diversity.
Right. Like one of my closest confidants is Cherokee Indian, and she is so spiritual, it's freaking ridiculous, it's nuts, you know what I mean? And we always compare her spirituality to mine, and you know, and I haven't met any American Indian who isn't spiritual. I mean, their connection with this planet is uncanny. It's undeniable. He's can I get a witness? he's waving his hand.
Native
Are you American?
Native,
you know?
Native American Apache.
Oh well, that explains it. I got an Apache Indian in the house. That's awesome. I never knew that. That makes sense though. You do have a reddish tint to your cheekbones. I'm just saying.
That's the one.
Oh, that guy. We're sipping our Pinot. Just to paint a picture for you at home, three very empty glasses on my desk. And we're about to hit the click button and go for round three here in a second. But before we do, I want to ask you guys question number six. Because of your spirituality, you basically omitted like five questions off this list. We're going to go right to number six. Chris, I'll start with you. Is there a part of your spirit that you feel was broken at any point? My personal belief is that you can't break the soul. I think brokenness is a matter of perception.
I think I am
convinced, you know what I mean?
That the spirit, I am, you know, I embody love, and the universe in itself is just complete. My life experiences have brought me to a place of what we would call breaking point. You know, there's been relationships that have definitely knocked me down. But if you're asking about my how I relate to Brian with that, I do not look to him to complete me. I don't look to him that's my journey and that's my healing to do. We definitely are mirrors to each other because we both are in a space where we can give unconditional compassion and empathy and understanding and acceptance. But I would never ask of Brian or of any partner, any friend, to complete me or to resolve that for me. That's my journey, and that's for me.
That's a very selfless thing of you to say. I know there are some people out there that look at love as a hunt, are very predatorial about it, and they look and say, okay, I'm going to get me a rebound man or girl, and they're going to be there for a short time, and they do themselves a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
And their perception, they're so, this is what this person is in my life for. That when they perceive that perception is done, that job is done, oh, now you got
to
go.
You have to just
remember
that
you
are complete.
Exactly. How about you, mister?
No, I agree.
Okay.
I agree the same thing. You think that, wow, I mean, I've been to the depths, and,
mm-hmm.
and I can have empathy with those who have been in those dark places. I've been there, but also knowing that I'm the one who can pull myself up out of it, and I'm the only one who can do that.
Right.
I can have the support and the love and the caring of those around me and the energy, and to be able to draw strength from that, which I have. But ultimately, that's up to me.
Indeed.
To do that.
Indeed, absolutely. I if I could go back, as I'm looking at that particular question, I would rephrase it. And I agree with both of you. No one is necessarily, you're in charge of your own counsel, and no one's in charge of helping you heal. If someone has a spirit that helps heal you, fantastic. But that's no one's job per se.
Right.
If I had to add, omit, or rephrase the question, what I would add is do you realize how long the healing process actually is? And I would ask myself that question, not necessarily to ask a future spouse. I didn't realize that there are levels of healing. Like, just because you're not riddled with grief doesn't mean that you're completely healed. Just because you don't worry or your thoughts don't dwell on the negative of a particular situation doesn't mean you're particularly healed. Growth is always happening. You know, the tree does not stop growing. It keeps growing. As long as you're on the planet, you are growing. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
And you are understanding whatever happened to you, good or bad, happy or sad, you're understanding it to a deeper level as you grow. And I believe that's continuous.
I think the interplay, though, your ego, you can't undo what's been done.
Without question.
And so your experiences in this life, in this body, will always be there. And so the expectation that, like, the idea of being, air quote, healed, you know.
Right.
I don't know that that's the goal, you know, that forgiveness, I think we have, like, the movie, Lifetime Movie Network idea of what healing is supposed to be.
Indeed.
Any moment, you can access and tap in your perfectness, your just whole and completeness. And yet we're in this human body, we're in this human form. And so all through the journey, there may be times where our ego or our fear will surface. And how we hold ourselves, how we hold that space and our love for ourselves will get us through it. So, yeah.
Indeed, you heard it here first.
Oh, my God. That's why I love her so much.
I mean, I yes.
The truth that comes from her mouth.
Indeed. And there is nothing but a bunch of truth telling over here. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, the sexy and the not-so-sexy, big children and little, I'm sitting down with two beautiful people, and we're discussing new love. The podcast title officially is 21 Questions to Ask Your Future Spouse. However, it is not my goal or the goal of our sponsors to get these people over the broom. That's not what we do. We're not a matchmaking service. We are where urban culture lives, and my job is to get what is cool happening in urban culture to you, the listener. And there are so many people that want to talk about who's breaking up with who, who's smoking crack, who's got the hottest Instagram, Vine, but no one, absolutely no one, is talking about love other than your favorite poet. Maybe not. Moving on. The next question is number 4. Will the way you raise your children remotely resemble how your parents raised you? Ryan, I'll start with you.
I have two lovely kids. A daughter.
What are their ages?
Sophia's 24.
Sophia's 24 years old.
And CJ Cameron is 21.
Sophie and Cameron, what's up, yo?
Hi, guys.
Hi. Support the podcast. Subscribe.
The way that I was raised by my parents, yes, most definitely.
The reason why I asked this question, in hindsight, was that I noticed a lot of people, and you guys might notice this too, a lot of people say, you know what? My parents did raise me this way. I'm going to change everything that my parents did. For almost as if they don't like how they turned out. And to me, that's crazy. If you love yourself, why would you be that mad over how your parents raised you? Because they ultimately helped you be exactly who you are now. So there's no point in reinventing the wheel here. You know what I mean? You know, I see so many, for example, people pinball. They didn't get any allowance, so their kids get all the allowance. They was raised poor, so even if they don't have it like that, their kids have the brand new Jordans that they'll grow out of in 3 months. You know, things like that. It's like they pinball, they overcompensate. That's why I say, you know, will you raise your children remotely how your parents raised you? Is really a question to see if you're appreciative of what mom and dad did.
Of course. Yes,
you know?
Most definitely. But also, as them being our first teachers, questioning that as well.
Absolutely.
Also, you know, why are you doing it this way? Why did you do this this way? I would think as we grow, we're also questioning ourselves. Is there another way that we can learn and do it and have it come out positively? Or negatively, but also learning as you go along. There's no book and lesson to learn as a parent. There's nothing that you can go on. It's just what works, what doesn't work.
Absolutely.
And letting them be the people that they're going to be and being able to support them and love them unconditionally and let them know that, hey, you're a woman. And I do that all the time with my kids. Tell them how beautiful they are to me and how much I love them and how proud I am of them. Because we're not perfect. They're not going to be perfect.
I once dated a girl who said that her parents never said, I love you to her. That always bothered me. Actually, it was my marriage that is no more. Interestingly enough, when it came time for the question of children, she did not want to have children with me. And her reasoning was that she said, I don't want to have children because I don't want to do to my child what my parents did to me. This was very elementary to me at the time. And I was just like, well, if your parents never said I love you, then I would think that if you had a child that you would pinball, right? Like you would almost overdo it. Like, why don't you have control of that? Why don't you just tell we could have a baby, and why don't you just love it like you've never loved anything before in your life? Do you not think maternal instinct would kick in? And that was something that we fought over for many years, and which was kind of beyond my comprehension, because my mother is an extremely strong, very loving woman. I did not understand what that could even feel like growing up in a loveless house. Until, of course, I had one. You know what I mean? So that's very sad. Do you have children, Chris?
I don't. My journey took me in a different path,
oh,
so I defer
okay.
to Ryan for
okay.
that.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I have no children of my own. Mm. You know what I mean? And it wasn't for lack of, you know, practice. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
society
what it will be.
Society thinks women should, especially in their 40s. I get asked a lot. So just naming
yeah.
that.
No, I would. Yeah. Well, we wouldn't judge you here on this podcast.
No, I know.
You know what I mean? And people often use that on me as well. Like, okay, wow, you know, you don't have any kids, you know. A lot of men don't have children. And sometimes that's used as a bargaining chip. You know what I mean? The younger girls would be like, hey, daddy, I'm fertile, you know? And I'm just like, that's not sexy. You know what I mean? And
but it's also no reflection on how much love that Christy does have to give. And what she does every day, not only to myself, but to her parents, too.
Right.
And that maternal instinct can be played out in lots of different ways. You know, that mother energy isn't limited to just whether you have a child or you give birth.
Mm.
It's how you practice that and how you share that.
And I witnessed that firsthand last week when she met my children for the first time, and just the love and caring that she showed to my kids.
Wow.
And that touched my heart, because you can't fake that.
You cannot fake that. No, you can't.
And it plays itself out in like how we create. You know,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, you know, it's not just making a baby, but how men and women have a maternal instinct. And so what we do with our creative energy and
Absolutely.
Our outlet for it is really, you know, whether it's we all embody a paternal and a maternal energy. And so.
Without question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm so excited that I have you guys here for this podcast. This is so epic that we're having a high-level conversation of this nature. And it's sincere and it's genuine. And I want to thank y'all from the bottom of my heart to take time out of your day.
Very
yeah.
much so.
Moving on. Question number 3 is, or was, my love for creativity will never come before my life's mate. Yet that fact will not make my love for inspiration any less. With this rule and thumb in mind, can you see the potential for jealousy here? The reason why I asked that question way back when is because a lot of people, well, not a lot, but certain individuals in my dating manifesto look at my creative life, especially the selfish, as competition. Like, wow, if you could stay up all night and work on a book, a poem, a song, a video, why can't I have that energy put inside of us? And the spirit tells me that love is ever evolving. So you will not love her the same way your love for her and your love for your children are equally yoked, but they're just not the same. You follow what I'm saying? My love for creativity and my love for someone I am in love with is totally, it's totally different. You follow what I'm saying? This is, and people look at my creativity as some kind of separate entity. And I'm like, Jesus, do you not read my fucking work? I'm like, you know, but I'm bleeding in these pages. I'm telling you exactly who I am in there. You figure, on paper at least, a man who could express himself would be welcomed. You know what I mean? But
I
that is not always the case.
Dichotomy. I think it's a false dichotomy to create that. And I don't believe that love and how we and our outlet for it should be mutually exclusive.
Woo.
I don't think that is love. In fact, I think that you're living from a place of fear.
She said false dichotomy, ladies and gentlemen. She said false dichotomy. I'm just happy that I understood what the freak means.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I think it's a fear-based a fear-based situation. I think that true love would encourage the person to grow spiritually, the other person or yourself, you know, and that's what love is.
You celebrate that diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And you help support that diversity. Mm-hmm. And I can give that instance in I play music.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was in a band and her supporting that and knowing that, hey, I have to go practice and I have to enjoy those things that make me happy as well as the person that I'm with. And the same thing with Christy. We're not going to have everything that lines up together, but we can celebrate the other things that diversify us and encourage that and support that.
We want to help each other spiritually evolve.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. And looking back at that question, you guys, I would not omit that question because it's pertinent. I might not even have that question on, though. I might omit it because I am so aware now that you couldn't come to me with that energy, with the jealous energy.
Right.
I would feel it. You would, FOH, you'd have to get the fuck out of here because I would not, I don't invite that anymore. Before, my energy was just like, I'm just happy to be here. Ooh, she's hella freaking fine. Something for my freaking arm. You know, something to keep me warm at night. I'll worry about the details later. No, that's not who I am anymore. You know what I mean? I'm just like, it's got to be more than that. Don't get me wrong. You do have to be cute. You know what I mean? Let's not go crazy. But, but you know what I mean? You could not even approach me with that energy as it stands now. And I'm not throwing it out, so it doesn't even come to me anymore. So I wouldn't even write that question because my lady wouldn't have to answer it. Hey, hello. Question number two. I would describe a beautiful death as me as an old man surrounded by my children's children, passing away during my sleep with no pain or regrets. Can you describe a beautiful death? It's kind of a macho question, so I'll start with you, Brian.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't want any pain or suffering. I don't want my family or my loved ones to suffer with me. I want to be able to go peacefully. I think that's what a lot of people want, but just to celebrate my life and how it was, not celebrate my death.
Absolutely.
You know, that's another beginning going on to the new mystery. And having those around me and being surrounded by love when you do pass on. Unfortunately, in life, there's a lot of negativity around death. And instead of celebrating, I mean, I could throw it, like you said, with the jazz and how they have those jazz bands that march through the streets and
New Orleans, and somebody dies, and instead of being sad, they're freaking dancing with the umbrellas, and it's time to party.
It's a celebration.
Yeah, don't cry for me when I go, because I'm going to be on a motherfucking surfboard, or, you know, flying through the heart of the sun. I have seen it.
Exactly.
Absolutely. How would you describe a beautiful death?
I would add, I agree with Brian, and I would add that I would want to look back, you know, in that moment and just know that I lived in my truth, you know, that I lived to the fullest, that I was, that I didn't have regrets, you know, and how I showed up. I know that we, you know, I don't mean it that we did things that we, you know,
right.
But that I really lived life to the fullest. And so my goals, like when we talk about the 5, 10, 20 year plan, and Brian and I are both looking to our future together, I want to live life to the fullest with you, you know. And that's really a beautiful death.
I'm feeling selfish, ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm feeling selfish because this is like one of my best podcasts. And I'm just, I do know. And what's missing from the world today, in my personal opinion, the biggest void to me is hope. You know what I mean? There are so many people that live in a bubble. And they live in that bubble because they don't have hope. They're really fearful of any one ripple changing something in their life, that it's going to be freaking bombs over Baghdad and the four horsemen of the freaking apocalypse and all of this crazy stuff. And I'm like, if you really knew that you cannot be killed, you could shed your flesh. Yeah. You could have pain while you're here, but you cannot be destroyed. You are eternal. We are astral beings, not discrete matter, as Yoda would say. You know, there's just so much more. But that's another show for another day. Moving on to the last question, number one. Now, can you paint a picture of your beautiful life together? What's the average day for you in the future? Actually, let me turn it to her first. Miss Christie, talk to me. What's an average beautiful day in your future with this man to your left?
Well, I guess I feel like I kind of spoke to that in my last response, just that we live each day to the fullest. But in a day-to-day situation, that we have adventure and mutual love and acceptance.
Lots of fun and laughter.
Absolutely.
Joy.
Well, Jay-Z would say if the key to success is in visualizing that success and then doing it.
Exactly.
But you got to visualize it first. So if your goal is to kill a stage, like your favorite poet, Graffiti Blue, then you picture yourself killing the stage. And then you will probably more than likely kill it. So what I'm telling you guys is to picture your perfect day with one another in the future.
And it's not all just roses. It's how we hold the space for each other when we hit hiccups along the way.
Nice.
That there's that unconditional acceptance and love, and we hold that for each other.
We're going to be there for each other and support each other. And when one of us is down or not having a good day, we pick each other up or support each other and lean on each other. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know that what we can bring to each other is going to be that love and acceptance.
That reliable energy as each other's guru, really, in life. Yeah.
Count on me.
I tell you what is going to happen. I'm not telling you guys to jump over the broom. Well, it's a piece of paper. You know, I mean, love is certainly beyond the confines of what ink can write. However, if you guys have any kind of ceremony, if I'm not the poet performing, I'm going to be effing pissed. That's all I'm saying.
You've got it.
All right. You see, that's how you get work, ladies and gentlemen.
You're inked in.
It kept the sponsors happy, and I kept myself in a possible job situation.
Absolutely.
And we're not going to be too long-winded with it. You are listening to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. I want to send a personal thank you to Sha-Ki and Vaughn Lynn for the opportunity. Shout out to the Zulu Nation, everybody down there in Los Angeles who makes this possible, as well as everybody that is my blood kin out there in Southside Jamaica, Queens. Anything you want to leave the people with? Any advice? Anything we didn't touch on? Love is eternal. We could go on for hours.
I just want to thank everyone for the opportunity to share our story. And is there more from you?
Just keep growing together and know that there is hope out there for everybody. You do have a choice and to manifest your own destiny daily. And that's something that I do. Bring out that positive. Be that.
You guys are living that. You guys inspire me.
PMA.
Absolutely. And I think it speaks volumes that you would even come here and have a conversation about that. And you didn't look at it like, oh my God, you know what I mean? You know, he's going to jinx us.
No.
You know what I mean? You guys really stepped out there
it.
On their faith, and
yeah.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a celebration.
Well, joy should be celebrated more than fear.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that's what it is about. The only thing that I would like to leave with people is that you cannot fail. That you can't walk in love, or you can't be a loving person and not get it back. That the energy, the universe simply does not work that way.
Right.
Yeah, there's no way. You might not get it back from the person you may have channeled it into, but it will certainly come back around.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? There is no way it cannot. Your saddest, your darkest hour, if you find a way through that to be empathetic, faithful, loving inside that darkness, you can create your own light. And that's just the real. I'm not trying to turn atheists into believers. I'm just saying what I feel and taking real conversations and putting them into a spiritual context.
Truth.
And with that, we out of here. Until next time you hear the sound of my voice, people, we'll be here Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. Courtesy of the Culture Zine Media Network. Until next time, take care of yourselves. We are out.
There you go.
Bye. I see something on my Instagram. Could it be the shoes I've been waiting for? I gotta have them. Oh my goodness. And when I get them, I put them on. Walk around as everybody
like
my name
on
IG, my shoe game.
Yeah, the feeling that you get when you open up the box and it's so
good.
Wow. The feeling that you get when you slide your toes in
and it feels right.
And it feels good. That you get when you're strapping around your ankle real tight, got to do work, and then you stand up and you're 10 feet tall like an Amazon.
Wow.
You have a mission to body however many shoes you like. From Giuseppe tonight, I promise I will treat them nice. I'll frame them, why I might even name them. If it's a dope shoe, I'll claim them. Huh, this is the best week. Accommodate my leg precisely. Have you ever seen a pink and leopard polo boot? Thigh high golden loop platforms with the hardware done by paper fox. I throw on some lace socks, cute open toe flats, slammed out straps, suede boots by Madison. Got my silhouette etched in, so elegant, so relevant. Can you handle it? She killed me.